Good morning. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. I would like to begin reading in verse 30 and read the following verses concerning a parable about the Good Samaritan. The scripture says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Now, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we find an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, which was set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. Parables were commonly used to convey thoughts of deeper wisdom, and even the disciples of the Lord ask in Matthew 13, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And the Lord answered, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Back in Luke 10, the Lord had been tempted by a certain lawyer concerning the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And here in a parable, the neighbor of helpless sinners is set forth. Those that are in true need find Christ to be their present help. Now, in this parable, we find man's deplorable condition. The scripture says, "A certain man," that is a picture here of Adam, all men being in him as their covenant head, "went down," which is the only direction that man left to himself will go, "from Jerusalem to Jericho, from peace to the cursed." Adam was originally made upright, created in innocence, but went down by his disobedience into guilt, into death, and into hopelessness. In the parable, the scripture says that this certain man fell among thieves. Mankind in Adam fell into the hands of sin and Satan, which are robbers. They steal, they kill, and they destroy. Man has been robbed of his honor and of the image and glory of Almighty God within him. How is this? Well, in the parable, we find that the raiment had been stripped from this man. What does that signify? Well, it's a picture of the loss of man's original righteousness by sin. It was man's covering of innocence by which man could appear before God. Though only a creature's righteousness, that means a created one, which was natural and losable, it was in its own kind pure and perfect before God. When man, by his disobedience, obeyed Satan rather than God, sin entered. Man's innocence was stripped. He had no covering, but stood exposed before God's law, God's justice, and God's wrath. Man, in sin, now is destitute of a righteousness before God and has no way of working one out that will justify him before the Lord. The scripture says this man was wounded by these thieves. Man is left in horrible condition. Isaiah 1:6 states, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified, that means to be soothed with an ointment. And then they departed and left him half dead, which we may apply to man's spiritual death and the eventual physical death, which is the result of sin. I'd like for you to consider, secondly, the emptiness of any supposed hope. The Scripture says, by chance, obviously not according to God, because Almighty God rules all things providentially, but the phrase signifies that it came to pass. A priest came by. Surely there would be compassion here. But he saw this man naked, bloody, took him to probably be dead. And if he touched him, the priest would therefore break the law, according to Numbers 19:16. This man is, in the sight of this priest, dead. How can he respond? Oh, this priest might say, if you'll clean yourself up, if you'll stand up, I'll help you. But you have to lift yourself up first, lest I touch you, and I myself become polluted. Likewise, a Levite, a picture of God's law. No mercy could be found here. The law makes no allowance for the fall or weakness of man. It will not and cannot accept an imperfect obedience. The law is deaf to all cries, to all repentings. Here's a man, naked, wounded, no robe of righteousness to cover his naked soul. You see, by the law, the Scripture says, is the knowledge of sin. But there's no justifying righteousness by it. Deeds of law performed by sinful men are still impure and unacceptable. They would do nothing but establish boasting and would frustrate the grace of God. Therefore, no righteousness by the law. The law can only leave a man as wounded, as naked, as spiritually stripped as it finds him. There's no healing to the wounded conscience. There's no pity. There's no justification. There's no pardon. No atonement for sin. There's no comfort. When the law comes, it opens the wounds made by sin, fills the conscience with terror, destroys man's former hope of happiness, and doesn't even point out a physician to help. Oh, but consider the neighbor. The Scripture says, a certain Samaritan. Here's a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly a Jew, but he, even in John 8:48, was referred to by the Jews as being a Samaritan. The Samaritans were despised by the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ was hated because he was an enemy to the Jews' works religion. But this Samaritan proved himself to be a friend. Christ is the friend of sinners, sticks closer than a brother. The Scripture says, as he journeyed, meaning in the assumption of his human nature, coming into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. I see three things that this Samaritan did. First, he came where this man was. The Lord Jesus Christ put himself in the place of his people, in the position of being liable before God's law. He, as their surety from all eternity, clothed himself with their nature, in perfect obedience as their representative, fulfill the righteousness of the law on their account, and then, going to the cross, bore the penalty of the law in their place as their substitute. Secondly, he saw this man where he was. The Lord Jesus Christ saw the elect before the fall. They were chosen in him, the Scripture says, before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Why? That we might, Paul says, be holy and without blame before him in love. His delight was with them. Christ saw his people in the fall. Yes, he saw them as lost, weak, wicked, ungodly, enemies, children of wrath, even as others, and he shed his blood for them, even while they were dead in trespasses and sins. By his death, with their guilt and sin upon him, he washed them with his blood, that he might present them to himself a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, thirdly, the Samaritan looked upon this one wounded and had compassion on him. The compassion of Christ is seen in his fulfillment of God's eternal covenant to redeem. Considering compassion, think of another parable, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, chapter 20. And the scripture says, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." In the book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 15, the Lord speaking, he saith to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." His tender mercies have ever been of old. That which was necessary, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And the scripture says he bound up his wounds. Christ came to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal wounded sinners. And this he does by pouring in oil and wine, that is to say, the application of his blood by his Spirit cleanses from all sin, heals the disease of that sin, and cheers the fainting spirit of his people. He set this man on his beast, carried him by the assumption of his humanity, because this sinner, this wounded man, could not carry himself. Brought him to an inn, a picture of the church, where the gospel guides and directs, and is a refreshment to God's people, and took care of him. Oh, how Christ has taken care of his own. He's clothed them with his own righteousness, refreshed his people with great and precious promises, and all manner of supplies of his grace, protects him from all evils. And the scripture says, on the morrow, he left this man in the charge of the host, that is to say, a picture of the pastors. He gave to this man 2 pence, a picture, I believe, of the scriptures, old and new, perfectly conforming to each other, perfect in their message, complete, and told him, whatever else you spend, whatever else God's pastors give up in reputation, in diligence to seek out the word for the good of his sheep, he said, "I will repay thee," all in his way of grace. In closing, consider that which Christ has done for his own, came to where they were, saw them, had compassion on them, went to them, bound up their wounds, and carried them to the place of comfort. Until next week at this time, thank you.